You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast. Find out more about the show at www.thebarefootbroadcast.com.
Well, good evening. I hope you can hear us loud and clear. This is the return of the Barefoot Broadcast with me, the Barefoot Broadcaster, Carl Munson, and our resident astrologer,
Louisa.
There she is, everybody. And we are back. We first broadcast the Barefoot Broadcast in September of 2010. And I've written a little article about that, which you can find on ournet.news. And I'll put a link for that in the Spreaker chat box. Tonight we're just really getting back on air and just seeing what it's like, really. It feels like we've been through quite a lot since it all began. I married the astrologer, for example, that you just heard from, who's now sat next to me, and we're about to relaunch the whole Barefoot Broadcast concept and take it on tour across southern Europe. So I would really be grateful for your input, production-wise. You're all of you listening are really our executive producers out there in the Barefoot Broadcast territories, global territories. Please let us know how this sounds, because we've just had quite a difficult experience on Blog Talk Radio, haven't we?
Oh, it was very embarrassing, wasn't it?
Wasn't brilliant. We decided to call it a day on there. I've forgotten how bad that sounds and how great Spreaker sounds. So we're back on Spreaker, and we'd love your messages. And really, yeah, just a bit of production input, really, on how it's sounding. But we wanted to come back tonight and launch, because it's a good time astrologically, and we'll find out why and more about that, won't we, in a little while.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just a celebration, really. 2010. We are back now, 7 years later. I suppose there's probably an astrological significance, but there's certainly something about seven-year cycles, isn't there?
Definitely.
And it seems like quite a long time ago in some ways, but then hearing those jingles that we've just been playing through, it just seems like yesterday. And it's very interesting to think as well that if it wasn't for the Barefoot Broadcast, we wouldn't have met. We wouldn't be sat next to each other doing this show right now.
I know, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
So thank you.
What it created.
Yeah, thank you for being here and being by my side, literally, and on life's journey, and now the new adventure with the Barefoot Broadcast, as we travel beyond the UK and go and have fun elsewhere around the world. So, you, Louisa Tanner Munson, are an astrologer, and you are the resident astrologer of the Barefoot Broadcast.
That is correct.
How does that feel?
Well, it feels like a load of responsibility. I hope I do a good job of it. It's good.
I'm sure you will.
I mean, that's how we met, wasn't it? You know, doing the astrology show back then, which was really quite cool, wasn't it? It was a really interesting proposition. And I've come a long way as an astrologer in those 7 years as well.
I made you an interesting proposition, I think.
You made me a few. So, yeah, it's good to be back. And it's interesting that you mentioned seven-year cycles, because I think today's show should be about cycles, because it's actually the day before your birthday. And a lot of astrologers will know about solar return charts, which is effectively when the sun gets back to the exact place it was at the moment of your birth. And that represents your next astrological year. So from an astrological perspective, I don't really honour Carl's birthday necessarily.
What?
well, I honour your solar return, because for me that is the start of your birthday. And Carl's solar return started just over an hour ago. And so I'd like to sort of celebrate his astrological birthday on air and give him a little reading about the new cycle that he's just literally stepped into. And we can look at that from the perspective that we are off on a new start, so that could be very, very useful. But, you know, talking about the 7 year cycles, there's Saturn and Uranus, and both of those planets have a 7 year pattern,
hence the solar, the Saturn return, which you just mentioned, which gives it people jip. Well, that's the stereotypical view. It's not necessarily jip, is it? But at 28 years, People often find themselves reviewing their lives. And
right.
I'm going into my second. Would it be my second Saturn return, or would it be my...
Be your second Saturn return.
Oh, okay. So it is a 28
Well,
year.
you're not there just yet. That's around 56, 57, 58.
Right, okay. So I'm heading that way, though.
Yeah. Mm. But there are, in astrology, when you look at the whole concept of aging, then Saturn and Uranus really do a double whammy on you, because every 7 years Saturn is moving into a square position to where your Saturn was... you know, when you were born. So it's continuously moving, and Uranus is just doing the same, but it's doing it at a slower pace. So for instance, I'm coming up to my midlife crisis.
oh dear.
Yeah, which
great,
you know,
timing.
Years ago people used to laugh and, you know, talk about a midlife crisis around the age of 44, you know, 42, 43, 44. Because what happens then is you've got your Uranus goes into opposition from where it was when you were born, you know, round about between 40 and 44. And then Saturn, when you turn 44, Saturn goes into opposition. So although I'm not quite there yet, you can feel it coming on. And then, you know, there are other cycles as well.
Like, so there
you've done
that.
Your Chiron return in the last 2 years, and that's quite a big one.
Just going back to your midlife crisis, there is an astrological basis then for people having a midlife crisis.
Log Talk Radio.
Not just radio.
Yeah.
It's not just, this isn't Talk Radio. That is the revenge of the Blog Talk Radio
system.
It's like
system. It's trying to mess this one up as well.
It's so funny, because I'm just looking at what's happened over on Blog Talk Radio, and Dan Hoare is saying it sounds good.
That's crazy.
It must have been before it started going out of whack a little bit.
Yeah.
I've asked Anna to take a look for, or take a listen for us, and to see how that sounds via Spreaker. I'm sure it sounds a whole lot better via Spreaker, but yeah, midlife crisis has an astrological basis.
Definitely. As does going into teenage years. So, you know, around about 13, 14, you are, you know, coming up. It's the same with children around the age of 7. You know, they go from one stage to another, from really being a small child to becoming very conscious of what they're doing and learning to hide some of their personality and characteristics. But the thing with Saturn and Uranus is, like, one planet, Saturn, is to do with restrictions and the structure that we put ourselves in and that we construct around us. So, for instance, one of the things that most people struggle with at the time of their first Saturn return, sometimes at their second Saturn return as well, is that we build an identity around us. And it feels very real. And, you know, we start referring to us as our job, or as, you know, where we live. And, you know, we start identifying with things so much. And then come, you know, the age of 28, 29, a lot of people start to realize that they've created themselves this really tiny little prison. And they haven't got enough room.
Mind.
Yeah, they haven't got enough room to, like, spread out a little bit. And so what normally happens around 28, 29 is that people end up breaking down the structures that they've got, because they haven't learned to be freely expressed. And Uranus, on the other hand, is about free expression. So, for instance, you know, when I'm looking at somebody's chart, there's usually a major transit coming on. So, for instance,
it's because they come to you at that time, or is that what, that's always what's happening for people?
Well, I mean, there's always things happening to us in our charts, you know, but there are more. And I find that people come to me when there's something more significant going on.
Right.
In the last 10 readings or so that I've looked at, there's been a lot of stuff to do with the progressed moon in people's charts. It's all changing signs. So it's, I often find that what I'm going through, or what those go, the patterns that are coming up in my life tend to be reflected a lot in those of my clients, which is really really kind of strange. And it's funny, isn't it, when you work in any kind of therapeutic field, that there's often some kind of synergy.
Whoa.
But most customers,
the resonance, yeah,
most clients that come to me for a reading, it's because they are going through one of these major cycles. So, you know, it's not unheard of to have lots of people coming to me during a Chiron return 50-51, you know, because people are revisiting their childhood hurts and thinking, crikey, I'm, you know, 50. When will this end? But, you know, it's quite useful because you can look at the planets involved and how to kind of reel out of them.
A question has just occurred to me. We made quite a big deal of 2012, didn't we, when we were...
Yeah.
What would that have been? A couple of years after the Barefoot Broadcast started, we met via that, and then we got married and got together and began to do shows around 2012, thinking or believing that the sort of prophetic ideas around 2012, that there was going to be a major transformation. Was there an astrological basis? I can't remember now for 2012, or was it just a sort of piece, something that the Mayans had written on a piece of stone?
I never really saw too much of I couldn't really see anything astrologically going on there.
Right.
Or, you know, it was supposedly, you know, if you look at the precession of the equinox, it was around the time, you know, and it's all to do with us going into the age of Aquarius properly. However...
It was too much to ask one date to deliver so much.
Yeah, I don't think one date is the be-all and end-all. I just don't think that can happen. But we had that kind of hopelessness at the time of 2012, didn't we?
Well,
this kind of ideology.
Yeah, if you transposed it, if, for example, the Mayans had said 2017 was going to be the great year of breakdown and soul-searching for the human race, people would be saying, oh, yeah, it's here.
Yeah.
It's definitely happening.
Well, interesting that I've already mentioned Saturn and Uranus at the moment because, you know, one's to do with free expression, the other's to do with structure. At the moment, Saturn and Uranus are actually in a really good trine, which shows a flowing of energy. So
that's just three, a trine, is that right?
Yeah, they're at 120 degree angles away from each other.
Okay.
So you can have like three of those angles in a circle. So yeah, it is to do with three. But that kind of energy that exists between those two planets currently is usually quite useful in as much as neither of them get the upper hand. And I think what we're seeing at the moment, if you take a much bigger world view, is that Saturn, which represents banks, authorities, governments, police forces, anything that's regulated, law, they're really, really sort of coming down hard on people. But likewise, with Uranus, the Uranian energy of freedom and independence and brotherhood is really coming up too.
So that might be expressed in the streets of Hamburg tonight.
They are very equally...
it's not
expressed.
A joke.
No,
I mean,
that
is what's happening, isn't it?
In
Hamburg,
yeah.
on the one hand, the fist of the law,
yeah,
or the water cannon of the law, is raining down on people. But
yeah,
there are a lot of people out on the streets resenting and resisting that sort of control as well.
Yeah,
against the backdrop of the G20 meeting, which again is another form of what people could see as mass control.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of other things going on astrologically, which are more long-term patterns, but Pluto is square Uranus and has been for quite some time, really, they've been in square signs, and really from 2015, that was quite a square year where there was a grand cardinal cross, where you had Jupiter, Mars, Pluto and Uranus all squaring off against each other. Right now, Jupiter is in Libra, opposing Uranus as well. So Jupiter is a planet of excess and abundance and growth. So if you think of rapid expansion and the anger of people demanding their freedom, it's a quite a jippy energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that things are, you know, are unstable. But
well,
it's interesting that Saturn and Uranus is very evenly balanced at the moment.
Yes, we're almost creating a stalemate, maybe.
Yeah, well, people being born around this time who are born with the Saturn Uranus in a balance, we have to integrate both of those energies quite well, quite effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing right now is that the world is needing to find that balance between libertarianism and control. And it's an interesting one because Saturn is actually in Sagittarius right now. But by the end of the year, it's going to be in Capricorn and it's going to hook up with Pluto. And then there's going to be two powerhouses to do with control, i.e. Saturn and Pluto, both in Capricorn, which is a sign of control and achievement. So I think that things could even stand to get a little bit worse. Well, it's all really just a process of waking up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sorry, I was just taking a selfie with it. Put you off a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it's all a process of you know, people around the world waking up to the larger patterns.
Well, I hope so. That would be a great thing if that's what's occurring. excuse me. I wanted to ask you, as like you said, I think either on this broadcast or the one we tried to do just now on Blog Talk Radio, it's my birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
And this, I can hijack you, can't I, for some astrological insight.
It would be my greatest pleasure, actually.
Thank you very much.
You've never actually asked me to look at your chart and give you an interpretation of it.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, on the eve of my 52nd, that's not because I don't value what you do. It might be because we're so close, obviously, that might have been seemingly odd thing, but okay, the gloves are off, the gates are open, and 7th of July tomorrow will be my 52nd birthday, so it's the eve of my 52nd birthday.
Yeah.
And there are a number of ways of using your astrological skills, aren't there? I have a solar return, that's the most obvious thing, isn't it, which is what birthdays are.
Yeah.
By definition, that is a birthday, isn't it, a solar return?
Yes.
How might I, if I were a client of yours, for example, be consulting you on the eve of my 52nd birthday? What sort of things could I be finding out from you?
Okie doke. What I would... I would do a couple of things. I would look at your solar return chart, so i.e. the chart that represents the exact moment when the sun got into the same place it was in when you were born. And I would be looking at that chart quite intently, because that would give us a really clear look at the themes, the overriding themes and the direction that you're heading in for the year ahead. So I'd start off looking at that. I'd also bring in your progress chart, which looks at, I'm looking at the your ascendant and midheaven. So if you imagine, for people that don't know much about astrology, if we were going to go orienteering, you'd need a compass. So you'd find your compass points, your north, south, east and west. We have a similar thing on a birth chart, which represents our own unique astrological coding. And so our north, south, east and west are like... well, they're like little portals, really, that describe the flows that come into our life from who we are, who everyone else is in our life, our most intimate side, and then our most outward side. So I'd be looking at those four axes and also the position of the progress moon. And from that, I'd be able to tell you if it was going to be a significant year of change. I would also often look at the charts of your significant others. So, for instance, if I was speaking to a wife who was considering a pretty major change and it showed up in her chart, I would similarly expect to see it show up in her husband's chart if it's a change that she's about to do that would affect him.
And if you didn't see that, would you think there's a possible conflict?
I think in close couples, you will find very similar astrological themes and astrological timing. So, for instance, if I was to compare your chart to my chart, there would be lots of... I'm going to try and sort of describe it so everyone can get a clear picture in their mind's eye. If you imagine a clock face, and obviously you've got... or a circle with 360 degrees. Now, Carl's birth chart will have a number of different planets all the way around. Now, the planets will be in the position that they were in at the moment of Carl's birth. And they won't all be in the same place. They will all be spread out in their own little unique pattern across the 360 degrees. Often, when you look at the chart of a partner, there are shared degrees. So, for instance, where Carl's moon is the exact place where my Uranus is at the time when I was born. And, for instance, where Carl's sun is, my Saturn is in exactly the same place. And you expect to see those little correlations with people. So, for instance, with maybe 10 planets, you often find, couples have things in the same place. So when you're actually looking at life changes...
But why would that be? Is that because... That is a reflection of their attraction.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like a hook.
Yes.
So, for instance, you've got these hooks all over your body that you're not, like, aware of.
Velcro.
It's like Velcro.
Yes.
So we've all got, like, these little parts of Velcro all over us that have a particular flavour or a particular theme.
Mm-hmm.
And as we come across people, sometimes we stick with them and sometimes we don't. And we don't often understand why. What I notice is that people that you really, really like and also people that you really, really dislike have very similar hooks. But you can tell the people you don't like because they're not in your life particularly. The yes. ones that you do like, you'll have those hooks with. And that's one of the things I would look for.
And that's why presumably then astrology is good for assessing compatibility.
Definitely. Absolutely. You can never give any definite answers. In as much as, you know, I can't say, oh, you're deaf.
Yes, could you tell me if this person will make me happy for the rest of my life, please?
Exactly. What I can see is that you have a shared flavour.
Yeah, or if you had two charts in front of you, you could say, on the face of it, this one would be more.
Definitely,
but then
yeah.
again,
you can look at that.
But then again, with nature proposes, man disposes. Is
yeah,
that one of
yeah,
the great
absolutely.
Phrases that can come into this and other divinations, I suppose, or,
yeah.
or interpretations of people's lives. It always comes down to how you act out
yeah.
on the information.
It's definitely to do with consciousness as well. For instance, you could have two charts in front of you and say, okay, which one would be the best partner for me?
Yeah.
But what I might not know is that one of the charts is representing the birth time of a chicken and the other is representing the birth time of when a computer was put together.
Right.
And obviously they're not going to be good matches. You have to look at them with the person and understand who it is.
Unless they want a relationship with a chicken.
Yeah, and there are people that are more bonded with their computers, aren't there?
Than a chicken, for example.
Well, let's hope not. But,
okay, yes.
So, yeah, so in like where we have similarities or hooks, then what happens is as we go through life, as one of the outer planets or, as a planet or a celestial body goes over one of these points, for instance, the sun is over your sun at the moment and over my Saturn. And it's not significant, but it represents a time that is useful for both of us. And look, we're relaunching our old project that brought us together.
Yeah.
Seven years later,
I was going to say, put pressure on me. That's not the right word. You requested that we might relaunch tonight
yeah.
because it was auspicious.
Yes.
Do you want to say more about that for those of the more astrologically minded? What indicators were there to make this a good evening? And you even set a time, didn't you? You thought 11 o'clock might be a good time.
Yeah.
Not factoring in Mercury in retrograde on Blog Book Radio.
I knew we wanted to relaunch and practice getting back in the swing of things with the Barefoot Broadcast again. And I knew we wanted to do it in the next couple of weeks. And I also knew when we couldn't do it. And so what I was looking for was when the moon was making a really nice last aspect with something, a useful planet for us. Now, bearing in mind that the radio is an etheric thing, you know, it's nothing you can actually see or touch, and it comes in over the airwaves. It's ruled by Aquarius. Like if you were to assign a birth sign, like a star sign, to radio work or new age thing, funnily enough, and also astrology, Aquarius as a sign would be one that you would really look for.
Yeah.
Now, Aquarius is ruled by Uranus. And so I was looking at where the moon was aspecting over the next few weeks. And I noticed that tonight the moon is in a trine position with Uranus. And also at the time that we launched this, the Uranus was in the third house of communications, and the moon was in the 11th house of reaching out to people and social networking. So it all just sort of, it just ticked a load of boxes.
It felt right.
Yeah, totally. And also it's on the eve of your birthday and the start of your solar return. So from a cyclical point of view, it just felt like it had to be tonight.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't going to work, we just wanted to give it a go because
yeah, well, why
it's
not?
The direction, it's
yes.
the commitment that we just decided to
funny enough, this was
start.
The week, wasn't it, where Barry Norman passed away, and he was attributed with the phrase "and why not." I don't think he actually said it. It came from the spitting image puppet of him, and it's quite a good way, I think, to look at astrology. All the benefits of applying astrology is like, well, why not? Why not just give yourself an additional chance, or sense of security, or fortuitousness? And that would appear to be how Chinese people, for example, it's just, you know, stereotype a whole culture, but why it is that the Chinese are so superstitious and why they do certain things like arrange their homes around the feng shui principles, mm-hmm. or have certain amount of goldfish.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you know that 7 goldfish might help you, mm-hmm. you'd probably do it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
And again, you know, the same might be true as if you can get help from an astrologer, a homeopath, or a gypsy lady with some, what is it? So Heather. In the street.
I once did that.
Why not?
I once did when
you,
I was...
But if you refuse, it's even worse.
Oh, she said...
Curses. Don't even repeat it. Don't even repeat it.
She grabbed my hand and said, give me a fiver and I'll give you a reading. It would be really, really accurate. Mm-hmm. And she grabbed my hand and she said, you'll travel. Now give me a fiver. And I was really shocked because it was in an alleyway in Canterbury.
How long did that take?
It was literally just there and then, like 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
She basically mugged me for a fiver.
For an hourly rate. That's pretty extraordinary.
And then
gave
me a tiny bit of heather. Yeah. And I was just stood
Which
there.
Which you have in front of you now.
Stunned.
Right. She doesn't really have the bit of heather in front of her. Anna Todd has joined us. Thank you
Hi,
so much, Anna. And thank you for your feedback earlier on about how this is sounding. Didn't sound at all good on Blog Talk Radio. We've become used to the great sonic quality of Spreaker, and here we are on Spreaker mm-hmm. by virtue of the wonderful access all areas as well. Only being tuned in a couple of minutes, says Anna, or so, but wondered if the planets each have an energy and how they can cause an occurrence, i.e. Saturn being a planet of routine. I seem to remember being a Leo is linked to the Sun. Is that right?
Yeah.
Might I have got that wrong? Sorry, I may have to say hi and goodbye. So... quickly. I don't think that's what
she meant.
That's
okay, Anna, because you can listen back.
Yeah.
We're not going to let you go.
Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, each a bit like you mentioned homeopathy just a moment ago.
Yeah.
That different...
not doing myself any favours.
Homeopathic remedies have like an energetic vibration, a bit like crystals apparently have an energetic vibration with a unique flavour.
Mm.
And people do too. We all have a different resonance. We have something that we can't quite put our finger on, but we know that I have a Louisa-ishness and you have a Carl-ishness.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you uniquely you.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise people too much when that's what they experience.
Exactly.
And that's what happens. I guess we're grouping all the time, aren't we? We're grouping things together because a human being is desperate for harmony and pattern.
Yeah, I would say so. And I mean, the thing to bear in mind is that the planets have been studied for thousands of years.
Well, as long as there have been humans, there have been humans looking at planets.
Yeah, I mean, man has been trying to make sense of the world and trying to understand. I mean, never was there a time more, you know, when we needed to understand the world and our place in it, you know. But, you know, we've been trying to understand the world, and what was noticed thousands of years ago was that when, you know, you saw Mars in the sky or Venus in a different area of the sky, that different things were happening. I mean, you notice it more with the moon because the moon has such a quick, you know, it goes around, it flies around the signs really, really quickly in 28 and a half days, 29 days, whatever. Every 2.5 days, it's changing sign. And we understand the effects that the full moon might have on us and also the new moon. And we all look at eclipses kind of with awe and a little bit of trepidation because we know instinctively, it's like hardwired into us to be mindful of what goes on. So the moon tends to represent our emotions and our instinctive behaviours, our animalistic sides a little bit, our innocence as well. I think children often act out in their moon signs a lot when they're really, really small. So for instance, Digby, our boy, he's got moon in Aquarius, and he's a really, really chatty and friendly little guy, and he's really gifted at language and impressions.
Yeah, impersonation.
He's it's just like his thing. He's so much more like an Aquarian child than his actual sun sign of Scorpio, and I think people grow into their sun signs as they get older. That's just my observation. But just to answer your question, Anna, yes, Leo is ruled by the sun, and Leos tend to represent some of the qualities of the sun. For instance, generosity of spirit, really warm-hearted and really expressive and creative. Creation is something that's really strong on the Leo vibe. Saturn, which is ruled by which rules Capricorn. Saturn is very much about structure and form and stability. And so it represents authority figures in our life. It represents how we become an authority in our own sense of the word. Like, for instance, when my progress moon went over my natal Saturn, that happened when I gave birth and I became a mum. So Saturn is to do with extra responsibility and how we grow and how we cope with our responsibilities. So each planet has a different flavour. And also what's happening now as people are learning more and more at a faster speed, a lot of astrologers now are adding in asteroids into their readings.
Well, you're definitely going to be doing that, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan, is that yeah. Our weekly show will feature one asteroid and we'll look at how it might affect you. So, for instance, I'd really like to look at the asteroid Talent. I'm going to look at it in your chart in a minute, if that's all right, Carl.
Of course, yeah.
But
Hopefully that was useful, Anna, to you.
Oh, yeah, sorry. waffling already.
Well, I've got a funny kind of cough in my... funny thing in my throat.
Oh dear, not sure what's happened to me.
I've got it now as well.
Oh dear, I might have a glass of water. Cool.
Oh, that's better. Okay, I think we've put that behind us now. I think we're well and truly launched, aren't we? The Barefoot Broadcast has been launched. That was really quite Kenny Everett territory, wasn't it? Like going back.
Yeah,
30 or 40 years. just for the nerdy people interested in radio, we are broadcasting via Spreaker using a new bit of kit. We are off grid. We're working on a laptop, off the laptop battery, which I think is being caned by the 48-volt microphones that are going through this Tascam audio interface. So we're trying this bit of kit. I think it's working fairly well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Including a fun sound effect and then a jingle that you can hit like this. Oh, there it is.
Here it is.
You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast. Find out more about the show at www.thebarefootbroadcast.com.
How much I like that. Roger Hanson, what a lovely man he is, who wrote that track that we used, well, all those years ago, five years ago. Thank you, says Anna. Is there helium in the studio? They may well have been. A little blast of helium. Have a great rest of show. See you tomorrow. Certainly, Anna. Looking forward to your 101st show tomorrow on Access All Eras. So in the little bit of time that we've perhaps got left, mm-hmm. off-grid, mm-hmm. This new battery that I've put in the laptop... Mm-hmm. Says it's got 11 minutes.
Okie dokes.
So do you think you could kind of finish off with a little bit of a reading, I'm taking advantage of the situation, really. I've got a great astrologer and the resident astrologer for the Barefoot Broadcast, Louisa Tanamonson, who your website you've been working on, is it published? Or is it not good enough yet?
It's not quite there yet.
How do people get in touch with you if they do want a reading?
If someone wants a reading, then they can message me. Send me a little email at louisatanamunson@gmail.com.
All right, louisatanamunson@gmail.com if you do want to talk to Louisa a little bit more. And in the remaining minutes, you can tell me a little bit on the eve of my birthday what sort of year I've got ahead? Or
yeah, you've got an exciting
one. Over to you.
Okay, so your solar return chart's got Capricorn rising, which shows more of a business-like approach for your year ahead.
Excellent.
Getting a bit more stability. Now, Saturn, which rules Capricorn, is in the 11th house, which is to do with reaching out it really, in my mind, represents how this year ahead you're going to have a lot to do with people around the world and connecting at an organisational level, reaching out. Now, Saturn is actually conjunct the moon in this. It's not in a really tight conjunction, but they are definitely rubbing up against each other. So emotionally, you might be a little bit more reserved this year ahead, mm-hmm. as you're, I don't know, it's like you are just taking...
Reserved, you say?
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. having a little... oh, God, you're going to do something comedic again, aren't
certainly
you?
Certainly not.
Something childish.
That'll be childish. Charming.
So, temperament-wise, you'll be a little bit more... kind of, you'll observe things a little bit, but you will be reaching out to people across the world.
But no more mature.
Guaranteed immature and unprofessional.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's your strap line.
That is, yeah.
But the first house of your solar return chart has Aquarius firmly there, and your Uranus is exactly conjunct the asteroid Talent in
or
the third
Uranus
house.
As I like to say.
Uranus.
My Uranus.
So Uranus that we were talking about, which represents your need for freedom and individuality and independence and creativity, is exactly conjunct the asteroid Talent in your year ahead chart, and that's in the third house of communications, at a community level, at a street level. Now, Uranus also represents astrology and the airwaves and radio and everything to do with the internet. So I notice that Uranus and Talent are also in a really nice flowing pattern with the moon and Saturn. Mm-hmm. So it actually looks like you're able to create some stability for yourself through your love of having fun and independence, using the internet, astrology, radio.
I am listening, I'm just and computer.
And, you know, the sense of community and sharing ideas. These are all also in a trine pattern with the North Node, which is to do with your karma, the direction that your karma is going in. Now, your North Node in this chart is also conjunct the part of fortune, in the seventh house of relationships and other people. So it's quite clear that what you're going to be spending a lot of your time on is finding joy, connecting with purpose, and helping other people get a sense of that in their own lives. So
excellent.
Sounding a bit distracted there.
I'm just trying to plug the
plugging in.
Back in. Off-grid isn't always the best thing.
So the first thing that's really, really obvious is that you've got this ongoing community build and communication thing going on, involving radio, involving astrology, involving the new age, involving transformation. Now, your Uranus and Talent are also conjunct with Pallas Athena in the third house. Again, Pallas is to do with patterns.
Pallas Athena.
Yeah. She's a really cool goddess that I like to put into people's
not like yourself.
Thank you. Well, she actually does have... astrologers do tend to have quite a well-aspected Pallas Athena. So seeing that conjunct Talent and Uranus is another indication of astrology featuring quite highly in your year ahead. So there's that going on. So I see that as something that's continuing to build throughout the year. But your Sun is conjunct Mars in your sixth house of work and day-to-day living. So you're going to be working quite hard, even though you're actually hoping to work part-time and have a bit
of a
dossier.
It's not going to happen, is it?
No. What's probably going to happen is that you're going to feel very motivated and get back into the swing of things. You'll find your mojo and you'll be straight back in there with renewed vigour.
Mm-hmm.
What I really like about this chart is that your Venus is conjunct the lowest part of your chart, which is to do with your home, and it just shows that you'll be happy at home,
right?
And you'll be able to feel comfortable wherever you are, which is quite good because we're actually planning on traveling around.
Yes.
So it's interesting that we will feel at home. And the eighth house of money, other people's money, is nicely aspected with the asteroid Karma and also Jupiter. So there's some really, really nice things about it. What I'm excited and slightly wary of, I think it's something that we need to keep an eye on, is your 12th house of the unconscious mind, which is a bit like the cellar.
Yes.
you know, the the place where we throw everything away, all our thoughts and our
feelings. Go on then, what's happening there?
Well, your unconscious is loaded with stuff. You've got the asteroid Hygieia, which is to do with health. Hygieia shows where we actually take a bit of responsibility for our health. So your mental health is something that you're going to really look at and watch and monitor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's also conjunct the asteroid.
That sounds a little ominous, but I suppose, is it just a clue to being more mindful?
Definitely.
Yeah, and getting better value, yeah. I suppose.
Well, it's also, you've got what's known as a stellium. You've got three celestial bodies all together. So you've got Hygieia to do with health.
I have been told that, yeah.
Hygieia to do with health, Juno to do with unconditional love and commitment, and also Pluto to do with transformation. But like facing our darkness, all three of those are together in the 12th house of the unconscious mind. So, well, what I see happening for you in this year ahead is that you've...
Oh, my word. My goodness. We couldn't have wished for a better interruption, could we, than that?
Wow.
Hold on. I didn't do that on purpose, I can assure you.
And sweet
I don't know if that was heard by everyone else listening.
My goodness, that would have hurt someone's ears.
The best kind of technical hitch ever. Sorry, do carry on, I beg your pardon.
I kind of lost my thread a bit there.
Yes, I'm sure.
What's going on with your unconscious mind in this year ahead is that you've got this chance to work through any kinks, any old patterns that are no longer working for you.
Yeah.
You've got the chance to transform them and let them go.
It's my Ray Davis year.
What?
Working through the kinks.
I don't understand
it's
that.
He's the lead singer of the Kinks, Ray Davis.
I have no idea what you're on about.
The Kinks, Sunday afternoon, Waterloo sunset.
Huh?
Ray Davis was the lead singer.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It's a good job you're not doing a music show with me, isn't it?
It is, really, yeah.
Yeah, so all in all, I think that's actually quite a stunning year ahead chart for you.
Well, that's really good.
But I did say I'd also have a look at your progress moon and see where that is.
Yes, please.
Let me have a look. Because I did notice back in March, didn't I? I looked at both of our charts and I saw that both our progress moons were in really critical positions starting from now until September. And I said, oh my God, something huge is going to be happening to us. And sure enough, we are changing our life in many, many ways this year. So we definitely saw that coming, didn't we? We didn't quite see how.
We knew
that the energetics were going to be changing this year. We just didn't quite have a finger on how. But
and this is a very helpful process for making sense of that, which again is a human urge, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
To bring comfort.
Okay, so in your progressed chart then, let me just, and this is obviously like a whistle-stop tour of your...
Well, yeah, you carry on.
If I was actually working with a client, I would be going in a lot deeper and asking a few questions.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's just as well. this is the Barefoot Broadcast, the relaunch of the Barefoot Broadcast. It began in 2010 on the 27th of September, I believe. And the sound quality on Blog Talk Radio is as bad tonight as it was back then in 2010. But still, they carry on like that. So we've leapt across to Spreaker, which is, I've got to say, my favourite platform for internet broadcasting. And this is where we have decided to relaunch and offer you the return of the Barefoot Broadcast tonight. And I intend to do a daily show of at least half an hour, maybe an hour, of transformational talk. So the transformational talk show, the transformation talk show, will be on every day on the Barefoot Broadcast, hosted by me and talking to a special guest. Plus, probably on a Sunday, the astrology show on the Barefoot Broadcast with this rather marvellous astrologer sitting next to me looking at my progressed moon, which not everybody has a chance to do.
No, your progressed moon is 4 months away from changing signs. 2 months away from changing signs.
Yeah. And from which sign to which sign?
From Virgo, which is to do with serving, to do with serving other people and being of use, and also, well, a whole
to
bunch
what?
Of things. Going into Libra.
Okay.
Which would be a bit more fun and a little bit more... a little bit more glamorous, actually. You're going into a new phase. So your progressed moon is still in the second house of money and values and things, but you're going to be expressing it in a new way. So whereas you were seeking your money from, well, working for a charity and serving other people, being of service, and I mean the way you have chosen to work in the past has been to do what's most useful, and that's a real Virgo and trait. But your progressed moon is going into Libra, which is going to make things a lot more fun.
That's nice to know. It's not that it hasn't been fun. Well, there are aspects of work recently that haven't been fun for sure. But yeah, I suppose so, with the emphasis on more fun.
Yeah, a lot more fun. Okay. And also your progressed moon is about to cross the progressed ascendant as well. So it is like a relaunch of you.
Marvellous.
So it's all good.
I'm glad I plugged the battery in, all the mains into the laptop, and we didn't have a sudden crash of the show.
I mean, the thing with astrology, I think, is, you know, we're all going to have lots of bad aspects. Like Anna, I know in the past, has spoken about the Saturn return. We've both been through a Saturn return. Your second Saturn return will be on its way in the next couple of years. So we have these things that come up, and you have a couple of choices. You can be conscious and aware that you have this moment to assess where you're imprisoned in your own life and where the personality and the ego that you're wearing is too tight for you, and you have a choice of what you do in preparation for it. So you've got this energy of stability and this energy, like, you know, with the Saturn return, you've got an energy that you can use to help build something purposeful. But for people that ignore it, what normally happens is they find that they have structures around them that they can't shift. So it's all about structure and form. So what I advise to people, and this is what I would be advising for you, knowing that that's coming up in the next couple of years, and also knowing that it's a theme for me because I've got my midlife crisis in the next year and a half.
Yeah.
It's in the post.
One of us has got to be sensible.
What I would be advising both of us, if I was, you know, my own client, or you, my own client, I'd be saying, sow some really useful seeds so that when these aspects come into fruition, you are about to reap the rewards of those seeds. So for instance, build something that will culminate at the time when Saturn goes, you know, into position.
So a business would be one way of building
something. Could... I mean, you might just look at one aspect of a business. You might think, okay, you know, for the next couple of years, I'm going to be building something that will lead to a book, or I'll be building something that will lead to a network of something or other. And so you just start building the structures, but you build them in a way that they will live beyond that Saturn aspect. Bearing in mind that Saturn aspects, you know, you've got 7 years from, you know, start position to a square, then it goes into another 7 years later, it goes into opposition. It's worth building something that's going to go beyond the 7 years, which in this day and age is actually quite challenging because things change so fast. So that's how I would use the astrology.
Thank
just
you
use
very
it
much.
To flow through life. Use it to be purposeful.
Yes. I suddenly feel
a lot more relaxed.
That wasn't the effect I was looking for, actually. But thank you very much for that. The effect I was looking for was this
one. I feel a lot more relaxed.
Can I see how and, I sound?
Yeah, okay, by all means. If you want, you could do yourself a little jingle or advert now. So go
really?
For it. Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
So I just want to... Oh, I love this voice. So if you've just tuned in, we thought we'd find you here. I'm turning it off. That's terrible.
Sorry, everybody. That's pretty scary stuff.
So, yeah, if I was going to plug myself, I'd say, so if you trust me, if you actually trust me to do to come anywhere near your chart, then...
after that, yeah.
Yeah, then just drop us a line, louisatannermunson@gmail.com, and I can, you know, work on looking at what's coming up for you and how you can sow some useful seeds. So
most
where you,
excellent.
Yeah, you know, what would be useful for you? You know, where to put your focus?
Yeah, so every Sunday night, I think you'll be doing light readings, won't you, from people's date, time and place of birth, or
yeah.
looking at an asteroid.
Well,
and that relationship with the asteroid to that person's
Here's how I'd like to do it is I'd like to choose an asteroid every week, mm-hmm. one that will... that we can explore, and then look at that asteroid in maybe three people's charts and give them a little interpretation as to how that asteroid will affect them and how they can use it to their advantage. So, for instance, I'd like to start on the asteroid talent because it's a useful one. It just it shows
how
us...
How did it get to be the asteroid talent?
I'm glad that you asked. as asteroids are discovered... their own discovery charts are created.
Yeah.
So, like, we had a discovery chart for you. Your birth chart is essentially your discovery chart of when you were born, the exact moment you were born.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with asteroids. When they come around, obviously they've been around for, you know, millennia.
Long time.
However, when we discover them, it represents what's going on in human consciousness on planet Earth at that moment in time. And so astrologers will look at the chart and from the patterns of the planets and some other asteroids, actually, in the charts, you get a real feel for what that that asteroid is trying to express. But also what happens is astrologers tend to look at what's happening in the news at the same time.
Right.
Because often asteroids come about at the time when their meaning is being expressed.
Okay, and there's a board of asteroid naming and asteroid characteristic giving people, is there?
I have no idea who actually names them. I think the person that discovers them. But you know what? It's the kind of job I'd like. I used to dream about naming all the Avon lipstick colours when I was younger.
It's a natural progression, obviously.
But yeah, you look at the asteroids. If you actually look at the discovery charts of planets, you can see how things were changing, like scientifically, when Uranus was discovered
mm-hmm.
and first used. So it was looking at radiation therapy and things like that, and Marie Curie, and there's lots of different stories about what's going on at the time of the discovery. And of course, now we're discovering things, and human consciousness is changing rapidly, like exponentially. So more and more asteroids are coming into our consciousness. And it's great because it's actually giving us more to go on. It's giving us
points
a lot
of
more.
Reference.
Yeah, they're just points of reference. It's just like a roadmap, helping you through life.
Okay, and you've had quite a resurgence, haven't you, since you've turned your mind to working with people with astrology and hypnotherapy?
Yeah,
it's come back to you in abundance. Interestingly, why do you think that is?
Again, timing.
Right.
You know, when you look at my chart, you can see that it was always going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my asteroid talent is exactly conjunct the asteroid Urania, which is to do with astrology. And the way it's lined up in my chart, it's to do with like working from home, but working on the airwaves. It's to do with working with other people. And there's a huge sense of balance in that. But what's happening with my astrology in my actual chart at the moment is, you know, like a pinball wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Where all of a sudden the ball pings on things,
it
reacts to things.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, there's like a reaction going off on my chart, and it's bringing me into contact with all the people that really do need a reading right now. So it's quite useful. And the weird thing is just how the hypnotherapy comes in. So I've worked with quite a few people in the last couple of weeks. And just in conversation, so many people want some hypnotherapy. And so that's coming up as a theme for me as well. So I can use those skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how was I trying to think about it earlier? I can either read you to help you using astrology, or I can listen to you to help you.
Okay, yeah.
Using hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
So I've got two different ways of working with clients, and really all I want to do is help them feel better about themselves. And
much nicer than having to smell them, isn't it, I suppose? Rely on other senses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all, yeah.
As a massage therapist, I guess I could touch people to help them. And I mean that in the best possible way, obviously.
You've got to be very, very careful how you say things.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much. That's been really helpful and a nice first birthday gift for me.
First? You're expecting more?
Of what? Today, without a doubt. A good time to maybe sign off and just say thanks to everybody who's listened this far, and that we're grateful that we've been able to relaunch the Barefoot Broadcast from its early days in 2010. Now, the late, I don't know which number it is, which iteration it is, but the an iteration of the Barefoot Broadcast, which is going to travel with us to Southern Europe quite soon and be on the road. So that could be quite a nice little journey and adventure, and maybe something to write about in its own right. Thank you very much for being with us and trying out this new bit of technology. And I'm going to sign off. We have a child. We're broadcasting the same room as sleeping children. So it sounds like the time has come to share a tune with you. And the one that burst in rather rudely earlier on. This is Michael McDonald and Sweet Freedom. Seems utterly right.
Happy birthday, love.
Dancing in the moon.